thing. It's almost as though you've got holy scriptures, and there in the middle, you've got a article about Brad and Angelina as if it comes from the Australian Women's Weekly. It's that level of difference between the two. And some say we should not have this passage in the Bible, this book in the Bible. However, Luther and Calvin said it belongs very much here. It belongs very much here. Because human love and the love that we see between man and woman is part of what of life. And more than that, it delights God. That is what God delights in. God does not need to be front and center all the time, in every book, on every page, in every verse. God celebrates human love, and he lies behind us, behind this passage. And in medieval times, this was one of the most celebrated books in the Bible, because of that fact, that it is a celebration of human love and the love of a man and a woman for each other. But it was also the love between God and ourselves. And very quickly, to keep time at a minimum today, we're doing other things. So this will be a shorter sermon, so I want to be punchy and to the point. This sermon, this passage reflects God's love for us. And the lover is God, and we are the beloved. And it is something to be celebrated and honored. And the essence of the love between the man and the woman is that of fidelity and mutuality. Fidelity and mutuality. They belong to each other. They are faithful to each other, and they love each other mutually. And God is worthy of love, and he also makes of our love. We know that. But God is also saying we are worthy of his love. We are worthy to receive the love that he gives to us, and we can come to him in love. And the Calvin and Luther would have said that this is in fact a very central book to the whole of the Old Testament and the Bible, because it actually reverses what happened in Genesis. In Genesis, rather wrongly, we think that the fruit that Adam or Eve picked off the tree was an apple. What was it? It wasn't an apple, or could have been an apple, but we don't know what it was. We don't know what it was. And by tradition, it has become an apple. And so that, of course, was the fruit of good and evil, of the knowledge of good and evil, and the occasion by which Adam and Eve began to sin. But now apples in this passage refresh us, and they give us new life. They are about refreshment, about renewal. And it's interesting how it's all set in a garden, as though it was now reversing what had happened in the book of Genesis. And so you get this picture of apples refreshing the church, who is the lily, God refreshing us, renewing us in the garden, and that garden is the garden of heaven. Now, the interesting thing about the lily here is also really important. The lily is traditionally a symbol of purity and beauty, but it's also a symbol of the right to be with God and a right to exist as part of God's creation, as being part of God's whole plan for creation. And we see that in the lilies of the field that Jesus talks about. They don't spin, they don't work, but they're there because God wills it, wills them to be there. But I think the thing that comes through this passage about the lily and about God's love for the lily is that the word is also a symbol of innocence. It's a symbol of purity, of chastity, of innocence. But the word innocence in English also captures something of what the Bible is trying to say about the lily and about this, about the beloved one here. The original word innocence came from not to harm. Not to harm. It means not to hurt somebody. And so it means, but it also means a little bit more than that. And it means both in the English language derivation and also in the Bible, what innocent means is the same as inoculate. It's not simply don't do anyone any harm, but it is actually positively to help people. positively to create healing and health and vibrancy and new life. And so an innocent person, a person, traditionally speaking, innocence, the symbol of innocence, the lily, was a symbol of people who not only don't hurt people, but actually positively help them. And what the lily here is part of that interaction with God, that, that interrelationship with God, where we help God in his plan to make the garden of his making, his garden, something beautiful and something that reflects his love, grace and purity. And in this week when we've had chemical strikes, in this week when we've had a whole range of accusations flying around, what does it mean for the church and us personally to be innocent? Meaning the people who actually not only don't do harm, like chemical warfare, but actually heal. How can we heal those children and those people in Syria who have been hurt by chemical weapons? We will have met people this week who have been hurt in some way. How do we be innocent? How do we be the agent of care and the agent of renewal for them? So right at the beginning, you have this picture of the Garden of Eden, the apple by tradition, which causes the disruption between God and humans. In this book of Song of Songs, you get a picture of the garden again. The apple then becomes the fruit of refreshment, the fruit which makes that relationship back again and brings us together again. And there's a picture there of the bride and bridegroom. Now right at the very end of the Bible, we've had the beginning, sort of somewhere in the middle if you open it, just straight middle, and right at the very end, what do you get in Revelation chapter 21? You get Jesus himself talking about he being the bride and the church. He's the groom and the church is the bride. And he is again picking up on the picture that this kind of love is symbolic and expresses something of how he passionately he feels for us and how he cares for us and loves us as his people. And so the apple and the lily become a metaphor in the Song of Songs. And the bookends are Genesis and the book of Revelation, where God brings us together after the separation that occurred in Genesis. And so we come today really thinking about hope. The hope that the disruption that had occurred in Genesis that is symbolized by picking that fruit can be healed. We see it here again in the Song of Songs, that healing is possible, that we can be innocent again. Not just free of guilt, but innocent and able to inoculate against being harmed, children being harmed, people being harmed, to inoculate ourselves and our world against the power of sin. And at the end, the power of Jesus Christ to claim us to be his people and in his church in his time. So today we're looking at the whole theme of the apples, and over here you have a couple of apple trees. This is picking up again on Luther's theme of the apple tree and the future. And one of the things I was thinking about, how can we celebrate this? So one of these apple trees is going to go down to Griffith's Gardens and be there, and the other one will stay here. However, eventually you need to bring them two together. These are dwarf apple trees. And what happens is you need two apple trees of different types. There's one called Scallywag and one called Mischief. You can't have two Scallywags together, and you can't have two Mischiefs together. I don't know why they call them those things, did it? Because you need one nut Scallywag and one Mischief, and then the bees can hop from one to the other and pollinate. And so you need man and woman, and you need each other with all our diverse gifts. And so what we've got here are apple trees that we will give to one to the city council and one here, but in September, October, we need to bring them together so they can pollinate each other. in thinking about this, one of the things I'd like to do, we're going to do today, is we're going to write a letter to ACPC in the year 2117. 2117, 100 years' time. And I've written a letter here for the church in 2117 to be open on whatever day they choose to celebrate the Reformation, the 600th Reformation Day of anniversary. And I'd just like to read it and see what you think. This year, 2017, we in the Auckland Chinese Presbyterian Church of ACPC have been celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And over the last 3 months, we have focused on three of Martin Luther's sayings. We are saved by faith alone, but faith is never alone. And today, Palm Sunday, 9th of April 2017, we are focusing on the quote, if I knew the world was going to fall to pieces tomorrow, I'd plant my apple tree today. I'd miss the line. If we are not allowed to laugh in heaven, I don't want to go there. Luther spoke about faith, joy, and hope in Jesus Christ. We are made whole in Jesus. Life in Jesus is full of joy, and when we think of hope, we think of you in the church. And when we think of hope, we think of you in the church 100 years from today. Some of you might be our actual descendants. You will all be our great-great-grandchildren in Christ. Our prayer for you in 2017 is that you will have faith, joy, and hope in Jesus. This year we look back 100 years and we see the devastating effects of World War I families in Auckland as they lost their sons in battle on the Western Front. As we look forward 100 years, we would like to offer you the verse that we in ACPC English Ministry have adopted for this year, 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts revere Jesus as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And so you hope that it will strengthen you to know that we have prayed for you today, long before you were even born. And today we have blessed two apple trees. One we intend to remain with ACPC. The other will be given to the city of Auckland and planted somewhere in the city. We hope that they may still be growing or replaced by younger trees. And as you look at those trees, we hope that you'll be proud to be part of the Auckland Chinese Presbyterian Church in 2117. You and we have a mission and ministry in the city to Aotearoa New Zealand and indeed the world. We are united in the faith, joy and hope given to us in Jesus Christ, in the name of our Lord, of Jesus Christ. And that will go to the archives in Dunedin and be stored for 100 years. They're a bit nonplussed when I asked them to do this, but they're going to think of a way to do it. And so in 100 years' time, that could be open. Can I just say it was a wee bit strange writing that because the Justin and, I don't think Nancy and John are here today. I can talk about them, that's good. Because I knew Jono's parents before Jono was a twinkle in his dad's eye. I visited Jono one day after he was born. I signed Nancy off as a suitable bride for Jono. I went to Justin's first birthday. Now, theoretically, I'm writing to Justin's great-grandchildren. I'm not usually lost for words, but that's getting close. So it's an interesting experience. Okay, we've got a bowl of apples here that I'd like to, if we could bring up now. And we're just going to have a prayer with those. Are they there somewhere? Oh, they're there. Great. If you just bring them up. Great. And I'll find my place again. Good. Okay. Just put them on the table. And the apples come in different colours, shapes and sizes. Apples differ in their best ways to eat them and to cook them. But they are all apples, and we are all Christians. We are diverse in our unity. We are not all the same, and we have different gifts. But God uses us in our different ways, and we are but for the same purpose of love, to love and to serve him. We are different, but we are one in him. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we come to you today, we pray that you would bless us as we share in this communion. And we pray that you would help us to know that you are one with, we are one with you, one with each other, one with those who have gone before us and one with those who have come after us. And help us now to take part in this communion, knowing that we take part in a timeless tradition that is a part of your church. You instituted it 2,000 years ago. People throughout the centuries have done what we are about to do and will continue to do so because they believe in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So once again, just as we come, we've talked about the various things that happen during communion. The thing on the table is one thing on the table that I just would like to remind us again about. And what is that and what is the significance of it? Not the bread and the wine. The linen cloth. The linen cloth that covered Jesus' body and that covered him in the tomb and was laid flat when his body was risen again. So, Isabel, could I ask you just to come up? Let's just have one moment to, before you take the cover off, to think about that, that this linen represents the linen that covered the body of Christ in the tomb in Jerusalem. And as we take communion, there will be some slides up the back there which are there to help us to reflect on what it means to be God's people and to be refreshed and renewed in the love and power of Jesus Christ. The night before he died, Jesus took bread and he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Take and eat it, all of you." Let's pray. Lord God, this is represents your body broken for us. So as we take it in, may we be reminded of the love you have shown for us in, on the cross and in the power of the resurrection. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take it in, all is ready.